Planning issues. Two words Mark Vlessing has become more than familiar with.
If we'd known all the politics, the policy gunk that we had to get through in order to succeed with this idea, we may not have started it. Culturally, we're a nation of homeowners. What is going to happen to that huge bulge of people who are just not going to get on the housing ladder anymore?
10 years ago, with no experience in the housing industry, he devised radical ways to beat that bulge through his company, Pocket Living. But first, he had to develop a radical tolerance for dealing with red tape.
You'll see that there are two buildings that we've built, one over there. If I were to summarise Pocket in a nutshell, how do you get people on middling income starter salaries to be able to engage with home ownership in London today?
With so much at stake, how to seriously shake up the housing market? Pocket Living's answer: to build 38 square metre affordable homes for the ladderless middle in the capital.
What's fascinating about the area of the market that we have disrupted is that we are the result of a housing policy framework really since the Second World War that has massively prioritised its thinking and its delivery around, if you want, the unbridled Victorian capitalism of the open market on the one hand and the very heavily, rightly so, protected social housing market on the other. Now, that's great, but it leaves the stuff in the middle completely undefined. And so by the time you get to the end of the 20th century, beginning of the 21st century, when young people just can't even buy that small broomstick cupboard anymore from which they could trade up to a one-bedroom flat, from which they can trade up to a two-bedroom flat, well, if you can't get your foot on the first rung, you can't trade up. So that's where it breaks down.
To put that ladder in reach of that middle bulge of earning enough to not qualify for social housing, but not enough to buy, the pocket flats are sold to first-time buyers within a fixed salary bracket at a 20% discount from market value. They have 15 developments in London, with five more in the pipeline. Flats average around £230,000.
So we are entering one of your flats, a shell flat, I guess.
Well, welcome to your first pocket flat.
Okay.
There you go. So you'll immediately see, very importantly, that the corridor coming in is actually much wider than you think it might be. I mean, you've told your parents that you've bought a pocket flat, and they will be coming in with their arms around their shoulders, thinking it's going to be tiny. But of course, psychology is very important in space. When you work in regulated markets, housing is a highly regulated market, and you want to innovate, you are up against so many rules, so many planning policies, and then in London, there are 33 local authorities, so it's even more extreme. The hardest thing we had to do in terms of disrupting the planning system was getting people convinced that this was a possible and sensible thing to do. So the business of trying to keep talented people working in central London was something which was actually a big driver for me in setting up the business.
It's doing social good, but, you know, it's a decent business, and presumably you're doing well enough not to live in a pocket flat yourself.
The first 8 years, Paul, my business partner, and I paid ourselves very little indeed. You know, you shouldn't start disrupting anything much unless you have a stable relationship back home, because you're going to go through hell.
Whose noses might you have put out of joint along the way?
Planning departments still have something called development control. It's about controlling developments. It's about holding back. It's not an engaged process. If you want to break down the disruption in the business model, it is about design, it's about manufacturing, it's about finance, but it's also about how we have stretched planning policy to accommodate our needs.